Grab a hold of big breakfast flavor at Hardee's. Try two breakfast sliders for just $2.99. Get Applewood smoked bacon or freshly grilled sausage with fluffy eggs and golden melty cheese all on a toasty little bun. Good morning, start at Hardee's. Available now for a limited time at participating restaurants. Tax not included.
On this edition, we're celebrating social change artist Carrie Newcomer and the spirit of her message. I'm Richard Brendan, and the conversation and music begins now. Singer-songwriter Carrie Newcomer has released her 12th studio recording, A Permeable Life. She's also released a companion book, A Permeable Life, Poems and Essays. Carrie has attracted a devoted following with her warm voice, exquisite melodies, and an irreverent yet spiritual view of the world. As in the work of poets Mary Oliver and Wendell Berry, Newcomer's songs are based in the ordinary and infused with images from the natural world. A Permeable Life is about what presses out from the heart, what comes in at a slant, and what shimmers below the surface of things, Newcomer says. To live permeably is to be open-hearted and audacious, to risk showing up as our truest self and embracing a willingness to be astonished. On this album, Newcomer's signature deep voice, which the Austin American Statesman called as rich as Godiva chocolate, takes on a quiet, conversational tone, close and intimate. Open and elegant arrangements showcase lyrics that balance introspection and interior monologue with love and fascination for the shared human story. Carrie's work cuts across secular and spiritual boundaries. She's had many artistic collaborations with notable authors such as Parker J. Palmer, Barbara Kingsolver, Jill Bolte Taylor, Philip Gully, Scott Russell Sanders, and Rabbi Sandy Sasso. She facilitates workshops on songwriting, creative writing, spirituality, vocation, and activism. Newcomer, who tours throughout the United States and Europe, has also toured with Alison Krauss. She joins us today from her home in the woods in Bloomington, Indiana. Hey, Carrie, welcome back to the program.
Well, great to be back.
This album is a beautifully done project, and it feels more intimate to me, perhaps, than some of the other work that you've done, although I've loved all of it. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, thank you. I'm glad you liked the album. And yes, I when we were producing this album and recording it, you know, the theory behind how we were doing it was it should feel like I was speaking with a person across the kitchen table, mm-hmm. and not so much from a stage. Mm-hmm. And my albums have always been intimate, due to the kind of songs they are. But I think it was taking it one step further.
Yeah, yeah. Not many people use the word permeable in their daily language. That's what struck me also. And what also came out with this is a beautifully done book with poems and essays and such. And I believe that's your first book that you've published, correct?
It's my first book, yeah. So that's very exciting, too.
Absolutely. You are now an author because you have performed with so many great authors. You're now an author yourself.
Well, I have been fortunate. I love the chances I've had to work with some amazing authors.
Yeah, yeah. Here's an excerpt from the book, and it's called A Permeable Life, and you write, "I want to leave enough room in my heart for the unexpected, for the mistake that becomes knowing, for knowing that becomes wonder, for wonder that makes everything porous, allowing in and out all available light." Of course, that kind of ties into the definition of permeable life. But what have you been learning as you've grown older in this journey, in this lifetime, about embracing more of the mystery of it all? Because I find, Carrie, as I get older, I'm realizing the less I know.
Well, and I have to agree with you. The older I get, the more I realize I don't know. But I think I've always been a person who's been more attracted to the questions.
Mm-hmm.
That the good questions, they're valuable, and they keep coming back. And it's not always so important that we answer them, but that we ask them. You know, what do I love? You know, what sustains me? When I pull back the distractions of my life, what's at the heart? You know, what is the meaning of wonder?
Yeah.
You know, these things keep coming back. And I think as I get older, That attraction to the questions has just grown deeper.
Yeah, Rookie talked about embracing the question, and I found that years ago when I had my coaching practice, it was the open-ended questions that really brought up the insights for people as well as myself. And you've mentioned that before in other interviews, the power of that.
Yes, and I think this particular album and this collection of essays and poetry, you know, I think there's a lot about that idea of a question and of presence and also I think of thresholds. There's a lot about thresholds and on this new album. You know, we will come up to thresholds again and again in our lives, you know, where what is old is gone. It's done now, but the next part has not quite arrived yet. We stand at the threshold. We stand at the doorway, and we're not really sure what it's going to look like. We just know it will be different now.
Yeah. You have a busy schedule. When I got on your website, you have a lot of gigs coming up.
And I do.
Is that increasing? It seems like you're busier than ever these days, which is a beautiful thing because of the message that you have to share.
Oh, well, thank you. My touring seasons are always a little more intense when I have a new album out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always more. I've always had a pretty busy schedule. Thank goodness I have a little wanderlust.
Yeah.
And that I really love people so much, you know. But I wouldn't say it's more busy now. But it does go in seasons.
Yeah. For those listening to us in the Indianapolis area, there's actually three locations coming up pretty soon. March 8th in Chicago, March 14th, that's going to be at the Unitarian Universalist Church at 7 p.m. And March 15th, you'll be performing in Cincinnati, Ohio. And again, for more information and for ticket information, all the listeners have to do is go to carrienewcomer.com. I believe you're going to be back in the Nashville, Bloomington area a little later on. So it's wonderful. And what has been the response so far, because the album's been out for a while, to this new work?
Well, it's been wonderful. It's been an incredibly warm response, and many people saying, kind of reflecting what you were saying earlier, that it feels like a really intimate work, and I like that. I like that, and there's something new and kind of different about this approach on this one, and. You know, it's nice to keep on stretching your edges. You know, I whenever I go into the studio and make another album, and there've been many now that I don't want to just repeat what I've done before. You know, I've already did that, and I think creatively I'm a pretty restless person that, you know, stretching my edges and thinking and reframing is always really important.
Mm-hmm. You dedicated this album to Takes a Community. Family. I'm very curious about that. Who is that community?
That community. Well, this particular album was released on my own label, Available Light Records, and it was community funded, and that was something I had to think about, you know, a lot. It's changing in the music world now.
It is.
All the old ways of doing things are changing, but we are on a threshold. You know, no one really knows what it's going to look like in about 5 years, or next year. But one of the things, knowing that everything is changing, I guess I put out the idea that I'd like to create an album, and I'd like the community to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And people did. People responded in almost an overwhelming kind of way. And I'm so grateful. I can't even express how grateful I am for the kind of warm response and encouragement. And one of the things I'm really loving about it is everywhere I go in the country, someone will come up to me and say, I was one of the Takes a Community people, and I really feel like I was part of this. this album is kind of mine too. this music is in the world, and I was part of that, and that's exactly what I was hoping for.
I love that idea, and that had to be very humbling for you to feel all that love.
It was like it was almost overwhelming. I wasn't quite sure even what to do with it all in terms of that outpouring of goodwill.
Yeah,
you know. So, like I said, I feel very fortunate, and I love that I keep getting the feedback. I feel part of this.
I want to cut to a first song off your album, Permeable Life, and this is actually the first track, every little bit of it. I love the beat of that song. Can you share a little bit about that song, maybe how it evolved through you?
Well, you know, every little bit of it, it's about, you know, embracing the now, you know, that...
It's about the moments, the small experiences.
Small moments, and that the small moments are kind of everything. Our lives actually happen in moments, not in days.
Yeah,
you know, and I think also there's a line in that the curious promise of limited time. That, you know, none of us will be here forever and ever, ever in terms of like this particular life. So that idea that, because we are human beings, and that every moment is kind of like this amazing gift.
Yeah.
To kind of take it in and to breathe it in and think about it, you know, in that sense, like every little bit of it.
That's one of the threads that I quickly recognized in this album. I saw it in other songs such as An Empty Chair or Abide, which you co-wrote with one of my favorite authors, Parker Palmer. But I think it's something that people are really needing to get now more than ever, with so many people living crazy busy lives.
I think you're right, you know, and I talk to people everywhere I go, and I sense it in myself too. We do live increasingly busy lives. We have so much to do, and we're not encouraged to take time to reflect,
right,
and or be quiet with ourselves. I mean, you know, we're surrounded by, you know, constant noise and information. This is such an information age that, you know, that we're getting information from all these sources, you know, just rapid fire. And I think it's easy to get lost in that kind of busy, and, or also to get overwhelmed by it. You know, it's easy to get stuck because you're overwhelmed with all this information coming at you. You know, and I think one of the things I think about a lot is, how do I operate in the world with that kind of busy all around me and the amount of white noise around me and this overabundance of information. That, you know, part of it for me is remembering to come back to the moment. To remember to breathe, to remember again what it is at the center of my life, to, you know, to remember the news, you know, the news that I know in my heart and I've experienced. You know, we get a lot of news from all these sources that's pretty negative. I mean, well, you know, it sells. Salacious sells, you know, suffering sells. You know, it's kind of coming at us from a lot of directions. But if you ask anyone, you know, anyone you talk to and you ask them, have you ever, you know, experienced or seen people act incredibly generously? Or have you seen someone forgive when it was hard to do so? I mean, have you seen communities come together and cross all kinds of, you know, boundaries for a common good? You know, and most of us will say, yes, I've seen that. And I see that every day. Did you see, yes, there's a lot of greed in the world, but I've experienced such incredible generosity around me. And yes, there's a lot of sorrow out there, but, you know, I have to, again, bring it back to the moment and bring it back to human size again. And kind of listen to the news. I mean, listen to the news within as well as the news without.
Yeah. Today we're Inside the Music with singer-songwriter Carrie Newcomer. We're talking about her new album, A Permeable Life. There's also a wonderful book out as well under that same title. We'll have much more of this conversation, but first, let's go to one of her songs. It's the first track off this album. It's called Every Little Bit of It. We'll have more of the conversation after this song.
Just beyond my sight, something that I cannot see. I've been circling round a thought that's been circling round me, like the vapor of a song that is just out of earshot. I thought I knew the question, but I guess not. There it is, just below the surface of things in a flash. Drink it down every moment of this, every little bit of it. I swam against the tide, I tripped on my own pride, so I'll try again today to get out of my own way. The face was always in the stone, said Michelangelo. You just have to chip and clear to see what is already there. There it is, just below the surface of things in a flash of blue. And the turn, drain the glass, drink it down, every moment of this, every little bit of it. There it is in the apple of every new notion. There it is in the scar here over what was broken, in the branches, and the curious promise of limited time. It's true, although it's hard, a shadow glides over the ridge. One fast beating heart tries with all its might to live, and we sense but can't describe from the corner of our eye something nameless and abiding, and so we keep transcribing. There it is, just below the surface of things in a flash.
Welcome back to the program. My guest today is singer-songwriter Carrie Newcomer. There's something about the power of song. As a matter of fact, I've come to see that songs, that music, can help probably people reframe, and that's what you were talking about a little bit before the break, before we went to that first song, to help people reframe the way we think in what we see. And one of my favorite Carrie quotes, because you have a lot of them out there floating in the internet, you wrote once, "A song goes straight to the heart of the matter in a way that words alone cannot. Nothing brings a community together like a shared story and song. A powerful song can point to the source of love and say, I will meet you there." And I find that so needed today now more than ever, because music, I think, can strike a chord more than just mere words.
Well, I think maybe that's why I'm still a songwriter. I do all kinds of writing, but
yeah.
There is something about that little funky format of songwriting that for me is exciting in a really deep way, that we have language, and language is powerful and amazing and beautiful, but we also, and it comes in through our intellect, but and our linear thinking. Mm-hmm. But you know, music comes in through the heart. It comes in through the wordless place. It comes in now. You know, music is very now. You know, when you think about it, before there was recorded music, which in human history it was a blip, it's just a blip, you know, it's really been a relatively short amount of time that we've had recorded music. But before recorded music, the only place a song existed was in the moment it was played and carried away in the heart of the listener, you know, or in the heart of the community. That's the only place it existed. It's pretty ephemeral stuff. But at the same time, you know, it does kind of pull back the layers and get at the heart of the matter.
Mm-hmm. Have you enjoyed your experiences also? I mean, you're an author now, but you've also performed with best-selling authors such as Parker Palmer, Barbara Kingsolver, locally Rabbi Sandy Sasso, Joe Boldy Taylor, of course, Phil Gulley. That balance of teaching the books that are out as well as your music and the presentations that you make, that's got to be a powerful experience for you when you collaborate with such beautiful souls as those.
It has been wonderful, and I've learned so much. You know, from every collaboration. Collaborations don't always work. Mm-hmm. You know, you try a collaboration and it clicks or it doesn't. You know, and with really amazing artists, you know, there's a synergy or there isn't. And I just have been very grateful that I've had the chance to work with such very different kinds of writers, really approaching things differently, but all of them with such incredible heart and wisdom and such a deep spirit. And I've learned a lot, and I've learned so much for every collaboration. Right now I'm in the middle of a new collaboration. Well, I've been working on it for a little while, but I have a play that will be coming out in September based on a song called Betty's Diner.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So it's called Betty's Diner. I'm writing the piece. I've written the piece with Richard Thomas, a wonderful playwright and sound designer. And, it's based on this little diner, just in everyday diner and the people who frequent it. It's about how honorable and important our daily lives are. And it's a musical, so there's lots of the fun music in it, but it's really stretching me, because it is my first musical, so there's all kinds of things to learn, and it's stretching my edges in every way. Gary Walters, who I've worked with a lot over the years, incredible pianist. He's the music director, so he's bringing this beautiful sensibility to the music direction.
That's awesome. Well, you know, in about this album that we're talking about, you said to live permeably is to be open-hearted and audacious, to risk showing up as your truest self and embracing a willingness to be astonished. And when I hear that not only you're now an author of a book, but you're writing a play, that's exactly what you're doing. So good for you. I'm wondering, when is a movie coming out? When are you going to get into movies, Carrie?
I love the word audacious. Isn't it a great word?
It's a wonderful word.
It's just, you know, to live audaciously and with possibility. I think that's something, I love about the creative life is that you're always stepping into another possibility, and to keep growing, you've got to be a little audacious.
Yeah, you do. That's where the juice is, to live a juicy life.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and I don't know, as people, you know, grown-ups, we kind of like to feel competent. You know, it's one of those things in our culture really, rewards the idea of competency.
Yeah.
And we do spend a lot of time learning certain things and mastering certain kinds of skills. But growing is about, you know, reaching that growing edge and stepping out one step further than we feel competent with. And there's something just exciting about that growing edge for me. But, you know, you also kind of walk around going, whoa, that was interesting.
Well, isn't it funny or beautiful, actually, how the fears will come up and you've got to just strip those away layer by layer.
Yeah. Well, coming out with my first book.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of my songs start with essays and poetry. In my particular process, and songwriters, if you lined up 11 songwriters and you asked them their process, they'd give you 14 different ways to do it. but mine generally does come out of a literary avenue. I write poems and essays, and from those writings, often my songs are born. But I just haven't published them. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a big, you know, people have been asking me for a long time, you know, when are you going to do that? And I said, well, sometime. but this was the time. And it did feel, it was like all of a sudden it was like, wow, this feels a little vulnerable.
Absolutely.
This was a little audacious.
Well, just wait till that play opens, the opening night, talking
it
about feeling
audacious, I'm sure. But there's something so exciting about the growing edge.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There just is. And even, you know, when you step right up to that moment where you go, wow, you know, this feels a little vulnerable.
Yeah, and I feel a more audacious spirit in your voice, too. It's so exciting, and it's inspiring for others when you share that and when you're modeling. This is where I feel called to explore areas I've never been before.
And that also means, you know, I think in the poem, willing to give up what I already think I know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Kind of push out on that growing edge. You have to be kind of willing to give up some things you thought you already knew.
Yeah. Well, you've inspired me already. I want to go to another song, and the reason I chose this song, it was hard to choose a few songs off this great album, but it was something you wrote about it on your website. The song is 10 O'Clock Line. It refers to a treaty made with the Native peoples of Indiana based on where a shadow fell at 10 o'clock in September. But you wrote, "The story has haunted me for years and became the central image for this song." Can you share a little bit about that story?
Well, 10 O'Clock Line, it's a song that is dealing with a sense of what you hoped would happen did not. Even feeling let down or betrayed, even. You know, the 10 O'Clock Line was a treaty that was, you know, it was made on a shifting shadow of light. How poetic is that? And of course, it was not kept, but it was made with this intention, a certain intention and belief, but it was a shifting shadow, and that's all it was. So So for the song, it was kind of exploring that idea, where this particular shifting shadow in my life, and looking at it and kind of seeing the shape of it. And, you know, I just finished reading a really wonderful book by Barbara Brown Taylor called Learning to Walk in the Dark. And that, I loved her image. She says that our lives are not necessarily night and day, light and dark, but our lives are actually more liminal. It's more like the phases of the moon, in that there are the times in our lives when the moon is round and glowing and so bright that you can walk out in the nighttime without a flashlight. And then there's times when the old moon is gone and the sky is dark, but it's in that moment, in the days of the dark moon, that's the only time when the new moon can be born. It only happens then. And that was a beautiful image. And then the idea of everything in between. It's liminal. Mm-hmm. It's all of the above. And I think the 10 o'clock line is really playing with the idea of, you know, of walking in the dark. And, you know, I'm in a place where the old moon is here, but the new moon cannot be born without this.
I'm Richard Brendan. Today we're Inside the Music with the Prairie Mystic, Carrie Newcomer. We're talking about her latest album, A Permeable Life. There's also a book that comes along with that. We're going to continue this great conversation, but first we're going to go to another song from her album. It's called The 10 O'Clock Line.
Gone with the grace of a black-winged crow, with all the tact of an exit pole, bank the curve of the last back road while you washed your hands in a silver bowl. I didn't want to know, that's the way it goes. Pretty words traced in the dirt, a whisper without a weight or and symbols written on the wall, read by the light of a mirror ball, the final flat line scrawl, and that was all. There's a hole in the world, I've seen it coming for some time. This is how it always ends, up on the 10 o'clock line. There's a
till I turn my
But I was so much younger then. Perhaps no more just the same, but a deeper song with a different name. The last one had its time up on the 10 o'clock line. There's a hole in the world, I've seen it coming for some time. This is how it always ends up on the 10 o'clock line. There's a hole in the world, I've seen it coming for some time. This is how it always ends up on the 10 o'clock line. There's a hole in the world, maybe only a space for something that's been waiting until I turn my face. Until I turn my Till I turn my face.
Hi, this is Kenny Aronoff from Studio City, California. You're listening to Richard Brendon Inside the Music on WICR.
Welcome back to the program. My guest today is singer-songwriter Carrie Newcomer. We're talking about her newest album, A Permeable Line. And also, for our listeners, I want to share with you those of an Indianapolis area. Carrie will be performing locally March 14th here in Indianapolis at the Unitarian Universalist Church at 7 p.m. On the 15th, she'll be down in Cincinnati, a gathering of friends, along with author Philip Gully. March 8th, those of you who like to drive to Chicago and maybe spend the weekend there, she's going to be performing there also at the City Winery. For more information on all the venues, and for those of you who are listening nationwide on the internet, you can go to CarrieNewcomer.com and find out where she's going to be performing in an area close to you. Carrie, I have a feeling for you songwriting is much like a spiritual practice. Can you speak to that?
Yes, I would say so. You know, I would. I'm a program Quaker, and I have sat with the Silent Quakers for years. Mm-hmm. But I would have to say that my most consistent and deep spiritual practice has been songwriting, because to write songs in the way I really want to approach them, you have to practice a lot of the same things that we usually associate with a spiritual tradition, you know, presence. You can't write a song about your life if you missed it because you weren't there, if you were, you know, too busy to pay attention to your own life. You can't write about it if you just weren't there, you know. The idea of compassion, learning to, you know, look at the world and at the stories you encounter with a sense of, you know, most folks are doing about the best they can. And having a sort of tenderness for that. And, you know, things like, you know, honesty and truth, you know. Philip Gully has a great line. I asked him once, are all the people, characters in your books, are they real? And he said, well, they may not be real, but they all are all true. And I love that, you know, it's like, are all the characters in Betty Steiner real? Well, they may or may not be real, but they're all true. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of those practices, you know, I've needed to develop and stay with and be faithful to continue to go deeper into songwriting. Mm-hmm. And then there's just something that happens, you know. Some songs I work on for months, you know, months they're percolating and happening and writing, and they come about. Some in weeks, you know, sometimes a couple of days, but every now and again there's a song that is already formed. It's already there. I just have to get out of the way.
Yeah.
And let it happen. And I wish there were more of those. But you know, this sense of the art having this life and spirit to it. Mm-hmm. And then there's this thing called the zone. A lot of writers I know call it the zone, but it's that thing. And I think it happens with writers, but I think it happens with anyone if they're if they're engaging in something they truly love to do or they love by nature, you know, that when you lose track of time because you're, you know, woodworking or you're, for some people it's the elegance of mathematics or you're whatever, it, you know, for me it's songwriting and writing. But when you engage in it, you engage in such a full and deep way, you lose track of time. And when I sit back from being in the zone like that, I have this sense that I was creating, but I was not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a participant in the process. And I guess that means, you know, the act of writing a song for me, doing the thing I love the most and so deeply, is, you know, it's probably the closest to true communion I'll know in this life.
Yeah. You do it so well. And in one of your workshops that you offer nationwide, it's called Songwriting and a Practice of Presence, which is helping people discover a daily practice of paying attention to details and small moments, and also encouraging them to translate their story into song, because everybody has a story to tell, don't they?
I have never met a person yet without an amazing story to tell. I do another workshop called Our Lives as Sacred Stories, to frame our daily lives and the things that happen to us as having this spiritual framework to them, and honorability, you know, that they're honorable, and there's something incredibly powerful about our own daily life. And a lot of times in workshops, I'll have someone come up to me at a certain point and say, well, there's nothing too exciting about me. I'm from Ohio. You know? But then they start to write, and there's grief, and there's struggle, and there's love, and there's joy, and there's bewilderment, and there's the 10 o'clock line, and the liminal places, and the dark of the moon, and the full round new moon, and all from Ohio. and I love that. I do love that. And
yeah.
This idea of framing our stories. Our stories is, you know, they're important. And I think also framing your life as part of a narrative, as part of a story, I think it helps when you're a person who's sensitive to the troubles of the world. You know, I've had people, I do a lot of activism, and I do work with a lot of amazing organizations. And, you know, people will ask me sometimes, how do you keep from burning out? How do you keep going? And I think part of it is bringing it again to human size, to do what I can do today, and to do it through what I love the most. My most potent contributions will always come out of what I love deeply and truly. So part of it is bringing it human size and saying, this is what I can do today. You know, Oscar Romero said, you can't do everything, but you can do something.
Yes,
and so,
love that.
What is my something I will do today? You know, and then, you know, I think the other thing is this idea of hope, that that we are part of a continuing story. That my life is not the last word. That, you know, no one really, you know, ended their life. You know, Parker talks about it, that no one, you know, ended their life saying, well, that's all done now. You know, that world peace, you know, took care of that, check.
Uh-huh.
You know, greed and violence, you know, okay, check. We've taken care of that now, you know, and that, you know, we will have human struggles as long as there are humans. And my life is not the last word in that there are people who have gone before me, who have made change as they can, and in their own ways. And I'm so grateful to them. And I work a lot in colleges doing a vocational reflection, and there's another wave. The next wave is coming, and they're glorious. They really are, and they're coming too. And we all, you know, interlock. So I think that's one of the other things that keeps me from feeling overwhelmed, that this is part of a continuing story, and I'm a piece of that puzzle, and I will do my human-sized thing today, and that will be enough, and it will be everything,
you
know, if we all do what we can.
And one of the things that we can do, and we talked about it a bit earlier, and that is learning about the true art of presence. There's a beautiful song off this album that I want to go to right now. It's called Abide, and you mentioned Parker J. Palmer. He's one of your dearest friends, I know, and he helped collaborate with you on the lyrics. That had to be thrilling. But we want to cut to this song right now. What can you share about this briefly to set it up?
Well, this Abide is, I love the word abide.
Yeah, I do
Not
too.
Not just to be with somebody, but to abide with them. And I think one of the finest gifts we give one another is our true presence. When we're listening in a way where we're not racing ahead to what the next thing we're going to say, mm-hmm. or we're not somewhere back in our mind thinking about what happened yesterday, when we're really truly present and listening in that moment, there's a holiness to it, to abide with one another. I think it's one of the finest gifts that we can give.
Mm. My guest today is Carrie Newcomer, singer, songwriter. Her newest album out, Permeable Life, along with a book. We're going to go to another song off that album. It's called Abide, that she wrote along with her dear friend, Parker J. Palmer. We'll be right back.
I will bring a cup of water. Here's the best that I can offer. In the dusk of coming night, there is evidence of light. With the pattering of the rain, let us bow as if in grace. Consider all the ways we heal and how a heart can break. Oh, abide with me, where it's breathless and it's empty. Yes, abide with me, and we'll pass the evening gently. Stay awake with me, and we'll listen more intently to something wordless and remaining, sure and ever changing in the quietness of now. Let us ponder the unknown, what is hidden and what's whole, and finally learn to travel at the speed of our own souls. There is a living water, a spirit cutting through, always changing, always making all things new. Oh, abide with me, where it's breathless and it's empty. Gently stay awake with me, and we'll listen more intently to something wordless and remaining, sure and ever changing in the quietness of now. It's like a message in a bottle that some unseen hand has thrown. You don't have to be afraid, you don't have to walk alone. I don't know, but I suspect that it will feel like home. where it's breathless and it's empty. Yes, abide with me, and we'll pass the evening gently. Stay away with me, and we'll listen more intently to something wordless and remaining, sure and ever changing in the quietness of now.
Welcome back to the program. It's a thrill to have Carrie Newcomer on today. We're inside the music, the creation that she has done, another great album. You mentioned earlier in the last break about your activism. Can you talk a little bit more about that? I think a lot of people probably don't know that you were co-founder of the Soup Bowl Benefit, which raised over $1 million over the past 20 years for hungry families. Hunger, a lot of people don't realize hunger is still a big issue today.
Oh, and it's a growing issue. There's a growing need for food assistance and so many families that are food insecure. The Soup Bowl Benefit Project, my husband and I, we started it with a handful, about, you know, 7 or 8 people. And it's a wonderful idea. You have local potters who make handmade bowls, and they donate the bowls, and then, which is a big thing, because that's a lot. And local restaurants donate soup and bread, and you get to pick out your bowl and have a soup and bread dinner, and you get to take your bowl home. You have this beautiful work of art that you take home with you, and all the money goes to the Hoosier Hills Food Bank.
Yeah,
and we just had our 21st. One and on this just past Sunday, and raised over $100,000 that night, which is again so needed. The Hoosier Hills Food Bank provided 4 million pounds of food last year, and it's often a hidden struggle in our culture. People don't always see it, but there are a lot of folks who are food insecure, and people like the Hoosier Hills Food Bank are doing such great work in addressing that.
It speaks to the truth that we are all connected, that we all need each other. I'm also very proud of you being so involved as you have been with Freedom Indiana, an organization that I have certainly sponsored. Unfortunately, we have a need for that in Indiana, but the fact that everyone has a right to be married to whoever they're in love with, and that's also been something you're passionate about. Really, through most of your life, you've cared about humanity. You've seen, regardless of what religion a person comes from, that we are all one. We're all connected.
You know, and I think, you know, I've always kind of thought that and felt that, but I think that just keeps getting deeper as I get older. And we are interconnected. And I'm grateful that I get to work with so many interesting and amazing organizations. You know, like I said, you can't do everything, but you can do something. And often you're focusing on the things where you have this potent love, you know, whether it's an environment or marriage equality or food insecurity or, you know, environmental justice, social justice. I mean, there's a lot of different things that we're working on, you know, and it gives me such hope that I get to work with such incredible people and organizations. You would think that, you know, those organizations don't always get the front page, you know. Sometimes they don't even get the back page, but every single place I go, every single place, not some or many or most, but every single place I go, there are people working very hard to make the world a kinder place, and know that this interconnection is the way it goes.
Yeah, you know, that's absolutely.
That's a truth that we are all connected.
At the end of this conversation, we're going to go to another song. It's called Room at the Table, and I love one of the choruses. It says, there's room for us all, and no gift is too small. There's a room at the table for everyone. There's enough if we share. Come on, pull up a chair. There's room at the table for everyone. And that's what you've just been talking about, whether it be a hunger issue or the right to marry issue. You've been to India. You've traveled around the world. Carrie, I want to thank you for sharing your time with us today. I want to thank you for the gift of this new album that you've given all of us, and for continuing to shine your light, and for continuing to be so audacious and trying new things.
Well, it's all, you know, and I appreciate, thank you so much for having me on the program. This is such a lovely program, and speaking to those questions, those good questions, speaking to those longings for presence and now and interconnection. I so appreciate that you've had me on the program. Thank you.
This WICR program is underwritten in part by Georgetown Natural Foods Market, located at 4375 Georgetown Road on Indy's west side. They carry organic produce and bulk body care products such as shampoo, lotion, soaps, and shower gel. Their kitchen serves soup, sandwiches, hot entrees, and carryout food. Plus, they have a juice bar. Georgetown Natural Foods Market, located at 4375 Georgetown Road on Indy's west side. Their website is georgetownmarket.com.
Richard Brendan Inside the Music is underwritten in part also by Natural Awakenings magazine. Each month, Natural Awakenings takes a practical look at the latest natural approaches to nutrition, fitness, creative expression, personal growth, and sustainable living. The magazine also covers the products and services that support a healthy lifestyle. Natural Awakenings magazine is a free publication and can be found at most healthy lifestyle outlets. Their website is awakenindy.com. I want to thank Carrie Newcomer for joining us today. And again, our website is carrienewcomer.com. And in closing, we're going to go to one of my favorite songs off this album. And it's so true. There is room at the table.
Let our hearts not be hardened to those living on the margins. There is room at the table for everyone. This is where it all begins. This is how we gather. Everyone, let us sing the new one.
today's program, our website is richardbrendan.com. For senior producer Lisa Morrison, engineer Joe Bainline, and production coordinator Kate Miller, I'm Richard Brendan. Each week, we're inside the music where love is on the air.
Grab a hold of Big Breakfast flavor at Hardee's. Try two breakfast sliders for just $2.99. Get Applewood smoked bacon or freshly grilled sausage with fluffy eggs and golden melty cheese all on a toasty little bun. Good morning, start at Hardee's. Available now for a limited time at participating restaurants. Tax not included.
How do you feel about your office? Is it just a space for employees to work? Or is it a space where your employees do their best work? When you're in the right space, it can bring your teams closer together and be where the best talent wants to work. When you're in the right space, it can make your life easier. Whether it's a new HQ or a satellite office, with WeWork, you can find a space that works for you. Visit we.co/spacematters to learn more.